At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Infinite complacence. People went to and fro the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
Bruce, you say you have several sightings throughout your lifetime, and it started at the age of 5. Now, is it okay to let people know where, maybe just the state even, that this began for you?
Was actually in Montreal, Quebec, just a small suburb of the city. My parents were throwing a dinner party, and it was later at night, past 10:30, and they had run out of cream for the coffee. So they asked my brother and sister and myself if we would walk to the corner store and get some milk. I was the youngest. I was 5 or 6 years old. I'm not exactly sure. My sister would have been about 11, and my brother would have been about 17. And I wasn't going to be able to sleep anyway, so I went with them. As we were walking to the store, which was only a 10-minute walk, I noticed I was walking by myself, and I turned around, and my brother and sister were just stopped dead in their tracks looking up. So without looking up, I just asked them, "What are you looking at?" And my brother told me, "Be quiet, be quiet." So I walked up back to my brother and sister, and I looked up, and here just above a light pole was this UFO. And it was just hovering there quietly. And after a little bit of time, I asked my brother, I said, "Should we say something?" And my brother's like, "No, be quiet." And I couldn't take anymore. I was a little bit of a rambunctious kid. And I just looked up at it and I just yelled, "Hey, you, come down here." And my brother got mad at me. And after I had said that, it just started to slowly drift off. And then it went up on an angle, and just within a couple of seconds, it was gone into space.
You said it was just above one of the light poles there on the road?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it wasn't that big. It was, I'm guessing, 15, 20 feet across, like 20 feet at the most. It did have lights around it. My memory isn't so good that I could remember the color of the lights, but I'm thinking yellow or green, or yellow and green. And yeah, it was totally quiet. But the freaky part was, is we never made it to the store because the store had already closed. And when we got home, my mother was frantic. She didn't know where we were. And like, we had come home like an hour later. And Like, I remember we were standing in the road looking at it, and when it left, we were still standing in the same spot, and my brother said, well, it's too late to go to the store now. And so I don't know how much time had passed, like half an hour or an hour. And by the time we got home, it was much later. And, you know, my mother was like, what is going on? And I'm not, you know, I don't remember what I did at that point, but I'm guessing my brother must have tried to explain it to her. But we were in trouble for that.
Do you remember her reaction to the story after he spoke to her about it?
I don't think I was there. Like, I think I had gone into my bedroom. When I did try and bring it up with my brother and sister, even years later, they would just shut me off right away. They didn't want to talk about it.
Mm. So even to this day, you guys don't really speak about that incident?
Oh, well, they're both gone now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So a 10-minute walk from your house to this store, right? And you guys are gone for well over an hour. And it's interesting that your brother, which you guys felt like you had only been watching it for really a few seconds, your brother already knew that it would be too late to go to the store.
No, it was after it had left.
Oh, okay. I got you.
And we were, you know, kind of stunned, I guess. And then my brother realized, like, oh, that's too late to go.
Right.
So we just turned around and went back home.
What shape was this craft?
It was your typical flying saucer. Like, it was totally round. I could only see it from the bottom and kind of the side, so I didn't see the top. And when it left, it, you know, it showed its bottom to us more. So, like, I was still kind of seeing it from the side and the bottom as it left.
And where were the lights affixed?
They went in twos. I remember they went in twos. And they were just evenly spaced around, all around it.
I mean, so you're five at that point. And of course, we're going to move to the next experience, and that may, you know, answer it, or maybe the one after that would. But do you remember your thoughts on that at that time, going, that was scary, or that was just weird? Like, what did you feel about that personally?
I wasn't afraid at all. Just curious, I think. And the reason I tried to talk to my brother and sister is I was trying to figure out what exactly it was. You know, like, back then, I didn't assume that it was, you know, aliens from another planet. Like, I didn't know what it was. And they just would not talk about it at all. Like, not one word. Mm. They just pretended like it never happened.
Bruce, do you feel like when you spoke to it or yelled at it, whatever you want to label that as, do you feel like it reacted to you speaking to it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because right after I yelled at it, it started to drift off. Like, it, like, all of a sudden it realized it was being discovered or something.
Was there any other weirdness or anything noticeable in this particular instance about your clothing, anything on your bodies, you know, any of the kind of classic missing time stuff?
No, there was no ever a thought that I was abducted or anything like that. Like, it was, there was nothing like that. It was just, we lost time. And I don't know if we were standing there that whole time, or I don't know what, but we just lost time.
Yeah. So, okay. So what was the next incident for you?
The next incident was quite a bit later. Like, that was at about 1970, 71. The next incident was in about the year 2000. I was a bus driver coming from the Yukon. And I think I had just crossed over into the British Columbia side. I stopped to let my passengers off to have a quick cigarette. And we ended up standing out in the cold for 45 minutes watching a light show. And nobody wanted to leave, but it, you know, got to the point where my schedule was going to be running so late, we had to leave. But we were looking back north from where we came from, And I believe it might not have even been in the Yukon or BC, because Alaska runs down beside it there. So it might have been over Alaska.
Mm. So what were these lights
doing? It was one thing. It was just one ship or whatever you want to call it. And it was lit up, like totally lit up. It was just darting across the sky, back and forth, up and down, just going crazy. And 40 of us stood there and watched it for 45 minutes. And it was still there when we left, but we had to leave.
So that's 40 people going. That is not a craft that we currently know of.
Oh, yeah, there was no way. Like, this thing would dart across the sky 50 miles in half a second. Like,
wow.
There's no human that would survive that.
Now, you personally, I mean, there had to have been, out of the 40, was there at least one other person that said, oh, I've seen something kind of sort of like this before, much like yourself?
No, everybody was just quiet.
Yeah.
Nobody was even talking. We were all just looking at it in amazement. Like, I don't think, you know, I'm sure half the people there were in total denial about what they were saying. They're probably just thinking, oh, it's somebody with a light in the sky or something.
But right.
It was a totally clear night. And that's why we could see it, I guess, because it was far away. Like, it could have been 100 miles away from us.
But in fact, did look,
so I'm guessing it was,
like a big star, almost like a very bright star, essentially.
Yeah, like more like your typical saucer shape, I guess, but lit up.
Oh,
like,
wow!
It wasn't totally round. It was kind of oblong.
Oh my gosh! So that must have been huge. If it's that far away and you could still detect that shape, that is amazing.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Oh,
like,
my
it
gosh.
Must have been, I don't know, like, a, you know, twice the size of a 747 or something, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Did you ever see anything? I mean, not that half the time we do now, and the internet has exploded and social media has exploded, but did you ever see anything or report from anybody about odd lights in the sky, news or newspaper or anything like that?
No, I didn't pay much attention to media back then.
Yeah.
I was working up in the far north by myself and, you know, pretty much just worked and slept.
Being that far up, you must have like true dark sky territory, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Pitch black because there's no city lights or anything to interfere.
Yeah.
The third one is the weirdest one. This one, I think I definitely had an interaction, but I'm not quite sure what it was. Okay. It's a bit of a long story, if that's okay.
Oh no, that's okay, Bruce.
Okay. I was driving truck, like tractor trailer. I was in northern Alberta, and I had to drive south a little bit and then drive back northwest. And after I had driven south about 60 miles, I started coming back. And as I was coming back, I was actually having trouble keeping my eyes open, and I don't know why, because I shouldn't have been tired. It was, you know, the beginning of my shift. And I just couldn't keep my eyes open. And I blacked out halfway back to where I originated from. And the next thing I knew, I was going down a tiny little farm road. Now I'm hauling two trailers. And all of a sudden, I wake up and I'm going down this dark, tiny little farm road. And I have no idea how I got there. Now, you might think that I fell asleep or I was just groggy and didn't remember where I was. But I had my truck on cruise control at 60 miles an hour. And I had passed an area where the highway was closed and blocked off with cement barriers. You had to make a sharp left turn at like 10 miles an hour to go around all these barriers and go onto this farm road. When I woke up on the farm road, I was still doing 60 miles an hour with my cruise control on.
Oh, my.
So I had to go on my phone and look up Google Maps to try and figure out where I was. So I thought, I figured, okay, I know a place where I can go back to the highway, like just cut across and go back to the highway and head northwest where I was heading. And so I found that. And once I got on the highway, I looked across and, you know, you drive the same route every night, so you see the same stars every night. And I'm looking to the south, and I'm looking at the star thinking, well, that star I've never seen before. That kind of looks out of place. And as I'm thinking it, it starts moving, like moving in the same direction as me, but it, you know, it looks like it's 50 miles away, but it's moving parallel to me. And then as I'm driving, I notice that it's starting to cut across, like it's going to cut in front of me at a distance. And that's what it did. And then it started coming towards me. And I even noticed traffic coming in the opposite direction on the highway started to slow down. Like there wasn't many of us out there. This is like two or three vehicles going the other way. And they slowed down right almost to a stop. And we're all looking at it. And then all I can remember is yelling and screaming. And I was using all kinds of colorful words. And I was trying to tell them to stay away from me. And next thing I knew, I snapped out of it. And I was still going down the highway at full speed. And I was looking in my rearview mirror all in a panic, thinking they were after me. Now, I passed a couple of more towns, and then all of a sudden there was a green and red light, like on top of each other, beside me going down the highway. And it was actually following the tree line. Like if the tree line disappeared, you know, from a cut line, it would actually follow the whole pattern as if it was tracing it.
Mm.
And this followed me for about another 30 miles or so. And it wasn't a reflection or anything. I was in total darkness. And all I could see was this green and yellow, or green and red light. So that all happened in one instant. And then when I got to where I was going, the guys at the shipping office wanted to know why I was so late, because I was running an hour late, and I had no idea why, because I didn't lose much time going on that farm road. Like that cost me maybe 10 minutes. But when I showed up there, I was like over an hour late.
So an hour late again.
Yeah.
This one is definitely strange. The whole,
it's very strange.
You're on the whole, you're on cruise control thing, and you would have had to slow down like 10 miles an hour to take that turn because of what you were driving.
I would not have survived that. There's no way that truck could make that turn. No, not a chance. It would have been just like driving into a wall.
And those lights at the culmination of this whole thing was next to you for 30 miles. And when you got to where you were going, had they left you before, like right before you got to this destination?
It just went down another cut line and then just never came back. Like it must have kept following that forever. It was almost like it was mapping or something. Like it was really strange. And my force sighting, I believe that's all it was mapping. At first, because I had just passed an airport,
mm-hmm.
and at first I thought maybe it was like a late military flight coming in, like a Hercules or something. And I thought maybe that's what it was. And because it had, you know, it was so bright, like as if it had all its lights on or something. And then as it got closer and I realized how slow it was going, I figured, oh, maybe it's a helicopter with a whole bunch of searchlights on it. But apparently that's not what it was.
To be screaming something like that, I don't know. That would probably, I would probably be freaking myself out pretty bad if that was my reaction to, not that that was so light and airy and fun, but to be screaming that, it was like you, I mean, oh, that was nothing else.
I was screaming
for you to
as loud as I could. I was screaming as loud as I ever did in my life. Like I was in a total panic.
Is that terrifying to you?
Like
that you were needing
part
to scream.
Was terrifying. Yeah. Like what, like it almost felt like they were trying to communicate with me.
Mm.
And like I was telling them not now, like, I don't want to leave now. Like I was just like, it felt like they were coming to get me is what it was. I know it sounds really paranoid, but that's what it felt like.
No, it doesn't, because even in just the last few shows, I think there's been two different instances in two different shows where it's this whole idea of I was thinking of it or I was talking to it and it reacted, right? There was, I mean, this is a theme over and over again where you're going, that's a light in the sky. How the hell can it of course know what I'm thinking, A, or B, hear me if I speak out loud or even if I yell? How the hell can they even, how is that possible?
Yeah. Oh, and the part that freaked me out too is when I first had noticed it wasn't moving at all.
Right.
And then it seemed like as soon as I noticed it and knew of its presence, that's when it started moving towards me.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
That really just, I don't know what that part of this phenomenon is. You know, a lot of us are like thinking, well, it has to be tied into consciousness, which, well, that would make sense because you were just thinking of it. Not that it could have heard you if you were yelling from the truck, but... what does that mean?
I had the weirdest theory about it afterwards. Like I was trying to come up with some kind of understanding of it.
Oh, I want to hear.
And what I was thinking it was is maybe I did fall asleep on the highway, and it acted as a guardian angel and actually saved my life and maybe lifted me over that barrier. You know, like I don't know, because how did I end up safely going down a dark farm road? You know.
Yeah,
it's just,
and your cruise cruise control is still set at the exact same speed that it was before.
Oh yeah, like I was driving way too fast for that road. Like as soon as I snapped out of it, I had to put on the brakes. Like it was like I was going to crash if I didn't.
Right, because like, you were set for the big highway and not for that little farm road. My goodness, that is
exactly.
I mean, what a cool story. Very scary though. That is terrifying.
Oh. Yeah, that one still freaks me out when I think about it, because I don't know what happened there.
I mean, Bruce, are you...
like, it's even scary. It's even scarier if I was just falling asleep. Like, how did I get there asleep?
Right, exactly. Even without the lights and the sentient lights that you can just think about, and then they're moving. I mean, you get to your destination. You had all this stuff go on. Were you able to go to sleep and then you travel the next day, and were you apprehensive to do so at that point, is to get back in that truck?
No. When I was on my way back, it was daylight. So, like, I turned around and came back right after I reached my destination there.
Right.
I went there and back in the same day. I did try and find out where the craft landed, because it did come in and land at one point. From what I remember, it looked like two translucent spheres kind of stuck together. And then inside them was just a bunch of white lights, like almost like it reminded me of, you know, when you pick up a dead dandelion there and you blow on it,
mm-hmm.
and you spread the seeds around there. That's what it reminded me of. Like, it was almost like two of those stuck together, except the ends, instead of being seeds or whatever, were lights.
And
like, to me, that's how I could explain
and
it.
And you saw this land while you awoke on the farm road?
No. This was afterwards, when I was back on the highway. And I was still in my truck. Like, I just, and that's mm-hmm. when I was looking in my rearview mirror, because I thought that's because they had landed beside me. And I thought they were after me, right?
Mm. Yeah, I don't.
It landed beside a farmhouse somewhere. But when I came back, there was about 10 farmhouses in a row there, and I couldn't figure out which one it was.
Yeah, they do look the same sometimes, don't they?
Yeah.
Did you ever think about, I mean, I understand, especially if you're kind of doing long hauls, you can't just hop in a car and go to these places again very easily. But did you go back down that route? Were you able to go maybe look for that landing site or anything?
Whenever I pass by that general area, I would definitely think about it and look around, but nothing came back to me. Like, nothing seemed totally familiar.
And you never saw anything strange on that stretch of road again, or any weird experiences?
No, I don't think so.
Wow. That was a stunner, Bruce, to be honest with you. I wasn't expecting the twists and turns in that one.
Like, I feel my heart beating when I tell that story.
I bet.
It's just too weird.
Yeah, I'll bet. That is definitely a strange one. I do hope that, you know, again, anybody listening, please get in touch. You know, if you have anything to add, similar stories, similar occurrences, get in touch so I can forward stuff to Bruce. I know that we want to know more about this stuff. People have got to talk.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the fourth and last sighting I had was in about 2016, like early winter, late fall. We had a new kitten, and the kitten got up on the roof of the house. So me and my oldest daughter, who was about 8 years old at the time, went out onto my back deck just so I could lift her up to grab the kitten. And just before I went to lift her up, she was looking the opposite way of the house, and she asked me, she said, "Dad, what is that?" And I looked up, and it was like a satellite. Like, you would think it was a satellite, but it was going much faster and much bigger. And it was just like going around the globe, right? And it would go past, and then it would come back again from the opposite direction, right? Like, it was just going around the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, my wife had heard me and my daughter kind of freaking out, and my wife is like, you know, total non-believer. So she just grabbed our daughter and brought her in the house and said, "Oh, it's just a satellite. It's just a satellite. Don't pay attention to it." And so I stayed out longer, and then I realized there was actually two of them, and they were both like going in opposite directions of each other, and they would pass right beside each other at, like, I don't know, enormous speeds. Like, it was only taking them like a minute or two to circumnavigate the globe, and they were just going around and around and around. And that's, I honestly believe they were actually mapping the planet. And then the weirdest part is when I looked straight south from the deck of my house, the sky every once in a while would totally light up white. like almost as if somebody was like flashing a camera and taking a picture, but it was the whole sky, like, you know, 1,000 square miles or something. Just the whole sky would light up white, just an instant flash. And that happened, you know, a dozen times or so, like just, and these things just kept going around and around.
I mean, I of course wonder what the lights were, but the flashes, that's interesting. I don't think I've ever heard anything quite like that before.
Yeah, exactly. I've never seen or heard of anything like that before either. Like, but the things going around the globe, that freaked me out because they were doing it so precisely and so quickly. Like it would have taken them, you know, maybe an hour to map the whole planet. Like just crazy.
God, can you imagine? I mean, something going that fast. Your wife, it's obviously she's not into this stuff. She's a non-believer, but did she seem almost a little almost forceful with, oh, don't listen to him. Just let's
absolutely.
Go inside. Yeah. So it seemed like a scare.
And I was trying to tell my daughter, I wasn't trying to tell my daughter what she saw.
Uh-huh.
I was just trying to tell my daughter to keep an open mind because there's so many unanswered questions out there. And I know it wasn't a satellite because, you know, ever since my first experience as a child, I've kind of been a sky watcher and I've seen lots of satellites. I've seen the space station going around and, you know, I know the difference. Like, you know, it takes forever for the space station to cross the sky and you barely see it, where these things were much larger, much faster. And I don't know, it was just amazing.
Does your daughter?
I can't believe that.
Oh, sorry.
A lot of people didn't see that.
Yeah. Like especially
how
with the flashes coupled in.
See that? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, but we say that,
and,
but look,
I know
mean,
I'm not, I'm,
people
I know,
don't want to
I know,
talk.
I know I'm not crazy because my daughter saw it first.
Exactly. She's the one that pointed it out, right? I mean, not that your wife was very happy about that. It sounds like she's like, nope, let's go inside. I mean, you're...
Well, my wife tried to come off as a very religious person, so she was in total denial about it.
Right. But she did see them, right? I mean... She just said they're stars.
I can't remember if she saw them or not, but her main objective was to get my daughter in the house because she didn't want her seeing it.
Does your daughter still talk about that sighting?
Well, me and since then we have divorced and I haven't seen my kids in a while, so.
Yeah, I'll bet she still remembers that. I mean, look at your memory from when you were 5, right? That stuff does stick with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and was that, you said that was the final sighting, right? That was 2016?
Yeah.
So do you feel like these things kind of follow you around a little bit? I mean, yes, there are years in between some of these, but...
Well, I remember when I was younger, after that first sighting, you know, every once in a while I'd catch myself looking up at the sky and thinking, oh man, I'd like to see one again, you know, and it just never happened until much later.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was with the bus and the 40 people. But that was also at a distance. So, you know, I'm not absolutely sure what it was, who knows, you know, but the last two were just way too real, especially the very last one. I mean, that was, I honestly can't believe the whole planet didn't erupt in hey, look what's going around our planet, you know.
Right.
I didn't hear a thing about it.
Well, yeah, because, you know, if they were circumventing, as you say, which it seems like that's what they were doing, there's plenty of other places that they would have crossed over that also had dark sky that people would have seen it, right? But
exactly, yeah.
I mean,
that's why I can't believe that no one else saw it. Or maybe they did, I don't know. I just never heard of it.
They just don't talk about it, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel like because of the fact that two of these incidents, they seem sentient, they seem like they heard you, they want to interact with you, you can think about them or talk to them, and then they respond. Have you done anything in the last few years or thought to yourself, gee, I sure would like to see one soon? Or, you know, has there been anything like that? Or are you kind of relieved to not deal with it?
I actually tried to become a UFO investigator. Uh-huh. I lost out the job to someone else, but like I do have police training and I did work in high profile security and stuff. So I figured maybe I had a good enough background to do it, but apparently I didn't.
So whatever the organization is, that you have to battle it out with other folks just to be an investigator?
Yeah, for a non-paying job.
Wow. That's how you guys do it up north, huh? What the heck? Well, come on down here, Bruce. We won't do that to you.
That was my thoughts, was if there's enough people doing it, maybe we could find out more, but they wanted to limit it to one person, so.
That's very odd to me.
Yeah, me too.
That doesn't help our cause, you know? It doesn't help us collect more stories.
Exactly.
And make people feel comfortable. That is so weird. I mean, stuff like that does happen down yonder here too, but wow, that's different. I mean, you still can be a UFO investigator. It's just you'd have to, it's harder to pave the way to get people to, you know, come to you with stories. It just takes longer because you don't have whatever that organization's name was behind you, right?
Yeah. I know it wasn't MUFON. I can't remember what the company was, but it was like a sister to MUFON or whatever.
Well, shame on them. They should take in whoever is interested enough to be part of their organization. I'm just going to say that right now. Shame on them.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's just silly. Yeah, because I just wonder, Bruce, if, and not that I'm saying that you should do this, especially since a couple of these are kind of scary. Have you thought about literally, well, okay, like the CE5 stuff. I don't know how to feel about that stuff. A lot of people are very, very into it. I just don't feel like I'm one of those people. And I've said this many times, I'm like about as sensitive and psychic and all that as a rock. And that is true. But I think some of you guys, like yourself, you know, you're more magnetized to this stuff, whether it's attracted to you or you can just see it easier, whatever it might be. It seems like there's something different with you guys.
I do feel like I've got like a little bit of a greater perception than most people. Like I do feel like I'm sensitive to it, mm-hmm. even though I've only had 4 experiences, but I always feel like it's there. Like, you know, maybe sometimes they are there and I'm just not looking.
Right. I'm just kind of blown away with the sentient aspect of some of these several past episodes. The one where he was taking a picture, he's trying to videotape it or whatever, and the second he'd put the camera up, you know, it would blink out, and he'd put the camera down, and it would flare back up again. I mean, how do you explain that? When it happens several times over and over again, that is something sentient.
Oh, they're whatever it is they're way beyond us, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if they're coming from a different dimension or it's actually just us coming back from the future. I don't know what, but
which would also
be come up with answers, because scientists are always saying, oh, well, you know, because of the distance, it's so many light years and there's no way they could get here. And well, then people talk about folding space and, mm-hmm. you know, all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. I don't know what the answers are.
I think that's a bunch of malarkey that they don't have the time to get here. They don't have the craft and the science to get here. I'm like, how do you know? How in the world do you know? We just know what
we
know. That's it.
There's so much we don't know. I mean, we don't even know our own planet yet. So.
Yeah, exactly. Can you imagine what's even under our own oceans? I mean, that's really, truly terrifying too.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are your thoughts on, have you heard of folks that, you know, they say, oh, it's similar to your situation where they've had several sightings, much of them are at night, but they say it is harder during the day, but it's not impossible, but they can go outside and they've seen them. They're usually hiding in amongst the clouds. I mean,
well, I do have one other experience, but it's so vague that I'm not even sure if it was real or not. All I can remember is me and my friends were driving down the road, and I can remember we were at a place where there were a bunch of power lines, like the big, big power line towers. And I remember like a bunch of military helicopters flying, but there was something else there. And that's all I remember. It's really vague, like really, really vague. But I don't know if that was just a dream or something wiped from my memory, or I don't know, but it seems real to me.
So, like the helicopters were flying, and they were, and something else was maybe flying.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like it felt like they were surrounding something, and they were flying really low, like just above these power lines.
I mean, do you feel like that's something that these four experiences, or maybe possibly five now, are just the ones that they've let you remember?
Well, that's the thing. Like as an example, just since not this past September, but the September before, I've undergone surgery 8 times, and they always give you that medication. I don't know what it is, but it makes you forget the surgery. And I'm thinking, if we have something like that, well, what would something way more advanced than us have?
Right.
Like, how easy is it to make someone forget?
When this has come up with other folks, something that I usually ask, and it's, you know, I'm not trying to poke or prod anyone to do anything like this, and it's kind of a nefarious subject with a lot of folks, but I think the last person I asked said 100% I would do this. I would probably be a little bit hesitant myself, but to undergo some kind of a hypnotherapy session and see if there's anything hiding in there.
Yeah, actually, I did think about that, and I knew a girl that had her degree in hypnosis, and she suggested a colleague up where I am here, but I just never got around to it. But I think I'm partly afraid to do it, because maybe, you know, there'd be more to know, and maybe I don't want to know it.
Right. No, that's my thinking. Exactly. You're like, well, maybe it's nice to be kind of left in the dark. And you've already got, especially that road travel story, that's really scary to me.
Oh, totally weirds me out. Yeah.
I mean, people like, I don't know if you heard the episode, and they go on other shows as well, of course, but Chad and Alta Dillard, they had missing time, and they have abduction memories from New Orleans. And he remembers being on a craft, like the whole nine yards. You know what I mean?
I've got no memories like that. I've got no memories of ever seeing any beings or anything. It was always just the ships, right?
Right. And would you want that?
Well, that's just it. Like, maybe it's just too scary to handle.
Yeah. Yeah. And that could be some just automatic response of our brain. I don't even know if they would need to inject us with anything. Maybe our brain, I mean, look at people with multiple personalities and things. Our brains do terrifying and amazing and cool things to protect itself. Not that I'm saying people with multiple personalities is cool.
Absolutely.
That would be horrifying. I'm just saying that our bodies are pretty incredible in and of themselves to compartmentalize trauma. But that being said, they may totally have the MIV flashy thing. You know, did you flashy thing me, Kay? You know?
Yeah.
They may totally have that.
It's funny you say that, because the high-profile security job I had, we looked like those guys from MIB.
Really?
Yeah, we drove dark, unmarked police cars and wore the suits and the whole bit there.
Are you a plant, Bruce? Am I finally talking to an MIB? Yes.
Well, no, we just had to look sharp, because every once in a while we'd pick up diplomats
right.
At the airport or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like bodyguards, I guess. Yeah.
You still look like a badass, but professional, you know? Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
No,
that's awesome.
Just an appearance.
Hey, it works, you know. You got to look the part. It totally works. So as scary as like going back to that whole driving situation, you know, that's getting really close to, you know, a whole nother, I mean, that is kind of a whole nother bag of just crazy, just experiences that could have just been even more ramped up.
It's unexplainable. That's what freaks me out about it. It's unexplainable. And the funny part is I had never gone down that road before where the highway was closed. I would always turn off before that to go down a bypass. And so I had no idea what it looked like. I had to drive back the next day to look at it because I didn't understand where I went. And that's when I realized that the highway was actually totally closed with cement barriers. Like it just the highway after those barriers didn't exist.
And Bruce, I'm sorry.
Off to the one side, there was that farm road.
If you already said this, I'm sorry. Were those at the culmination of those lights when they were following you and paralleling you for 30 miles, was that out your window or the passenger window?
My window.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it was on my left side, yeah.
I don't know why that bothers me so much more, because it's still terrifying if they're on the other side. It's just like they just wanted to make sure that you saw them every single step of the way, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was just it. Like, they weren't hiding. But that didn't seem like any kind of craft. It almost seemed like some kind of drone or something.
Right.
Like, it was just tall and skinny with the red and green light on it.
Mm.
Like, almost like a radio tower or something, but just, it was only, I don't know, 10 feet tall or something.
What in the hell is that, right? I mean, and they're so... I mean, I keep saying the word sentient, but there's no other word to use. That's very interactive of these things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's almost like they know I know about them or something. So they're just not hiding. I don't know.
Well, and that's a perfect segue to my last question. You're driving in this truck and you see the light, you see the star. You're like, that's so weird. I had never noticed that star before, and then it starts to move. Do you think if you hadn't have noticed that star at all, would you have had this, any part of that whole truck experience, would any of that have gone down, do you think?
Well, yes and no, because it almost seemed like that explained what originally happened to me driving through that barrier.
Right.
Like, how did I do that? Like, it's impossible, totally impossible. So they were obviously interacting with me before I saw them, is my guess.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you did see them before, and that's part of the whole blackout thing, you know, is that you actually probably did see something before. And then that's when you get on that small road, and you pretty much, you kind of like, oh, look at that. Look at that weird star. I mean, it seemed to really jump out at you. That's what I'm kind of wondering, is during the blackout period.
Because it was brighter and it was just out of place. Like,
yeah.
I immediately noticed it because I was like, well, that doesn't belong there.
Right.
You know, like, because I'm always looking, because I'm driving down the highway at night, every night in the dark. So I'm always looking up at the stars, you know, I mean, other than watching where I'm driving, but any chance I get, I'm looking at the stars. Like every time I pull over to take a rest or whatever, I'm spending half my time looking up. Because you could see every star because it's so dark, right?
That's what I'm wondering in that instance is, I think I'm just thinking there was maybe some really heavy interaction, you know, just whatever happened at that barrier, you know what I mean? That your brain has just, I got to forget this, I guess. Or they did it either way. You know, I think there was some heavy interaction.
That whole experience was like unexplainable and horrific and everything. And I don't know why I say horrific, like nothing other than going past a barrier that I shouldn't have been able to pass. Nothing scary really happened other than seeing stuff. Like nothing, as far as I know, happened to me. It was just like a witnessing, right? Like,
well, except for the missing time.
I don't scare easy.
The missing time in both of the missing time portions of your stories is kind of scary.
Yeah, and I didn't even realize the time had gone by until where I was going mentioned how late I was. And because I never thought about looking at the time because I was just, as far as I knew, I was just on my regular schedule.
You're like, I'm never late. What the hell are you talking about? You're like, actually.
Well, exactly, yeah. And I am one of those guys, right? Like, I'm always on time or early, so.
Damn it.
Like, put my whole day off, right? I was trying to play catch up all day.
Damn aliens, making those of us that are very punctual seem like we are late. We do not like this.
Yeah.
Big old jerks.
Yeah, they make me work harder, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, I'm laughing. I'm just trying to, you know, make light. It's not a light subject at all. I mean, I talked to so many people that have similar situations, right? Like, it's sentient, I'm missing time, and I'm going, I don't know. The missing time thing for me is just so very strange, especially if you're in a moving vehicle, a large one, and you have missing time. That adds a whole nother layer to the missing time thing. So how did you get out of there without crashing?
Your whole job. Yeah. You know, being a trucker, your whole job is watching time because, you know, you got to make sure you're within all the laws and everything.
Goodness. I don't know. I think that's on the no list for me. I think I'd really be starting to go, well, let's see if I have any scoop marks. Am I seeing owls? Like, you know, a lot of roll your eye probably stuff, but it's out there for a reason. So I don't know, but that stuff's kind of scary to me. Being taken against your will and then, oh, well, I only remember bits and pieces. Like, what? That's wrong. Cause it's something that happened to you, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everything's, you know, it is just bits and pieces. Like, everything's just kind of like filtered or something.
Exactly. Right. Just drips and drabs. And it's what, if it is in fact them choosing, why do they choose what they choose for you to remember? Why do you get to remember anything at all? You know, any lights, any craft, any of that. I mean, the missing time, maybe they can't fix that yet. They don't have that perfected, but, they can't get you to your destination on time if they're doing whatever they're doing. But I that part I can't figure out either. If they're that good, why do you guys screw up a little bit? And sometimes people see you, or sometimes people see a massive owl or whatever it is. Maybe that's just them screwing with us and being like, well, we'll let you remember a couple disturbing things just for fun.
Well, I think part of what heightens my curiosity too is every sighting I had was a totally different vehicle. Like, the vehicles had nothing in common whatsoever. So that makes me wonder, is there many varieties of vehicles or many varieties of beings? I like, you know, different vehicles do different jobs.
Mm-hmm. That's really scary to think about, though. Like you said, that in that one instance with the truck, it was like the first one was something different. The second was like a more of a drone situation, mapping.
Yeah. Yeah. And the last one was totally mapping. Like, they weren't having interaction with anybody, but they were with the planet.
Did you, in that last instance, Bruce, did you... Sorry, I lied. I said, oh, my last question. Yeah, right, Shannon. Sorry. In the last instance, when you're outside watching these things, did you do any, like, you know, like speaking to them or interacting with them in any way, shape, or form?
Well, other than yelling at the one when I was a little kid.
Oh, no, the very last sighting in 2016. Did you interact with them?
Oh, the very last sighting?
Yeah.
No, I didn't try and communicate with them. I was just watching. I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Right.
Like, I you know, like, I didn't know if it was the preview to an invasion or what. Like, it was like, how could no one else be seeing this? Like, you would think the whole planet would have seen it.
Yeah, did you kind of go in the house and just, it wasn't even brought up at all?
Well, I tried talking to the wife about it, but she wouldn't have anything to do with it because, you know, God only made us, right?
Right.
So,
right.
Like, a totally closed mind.
Yeah. Yeah, you get shut down pretty quick when people have those feelings.
Yeah, it was just, she was just saying, oh, it has to be satellites. Well, satellites don't fly that fast.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure Musk would love to come up with something like that, but if he has it, he hasn't released it yet. Well, anybody listening, any feedback, comments, questions for Bruce or myself, or if you want to share a story, something similar, that would be amazing, of course. Email me, Shannon, at intothefrayradio.com. Well, Bruce, thank you so much for coming on with me and sharing your encounters.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been kind of great to get all that out.
Oh, thanks.
Well, I'm so-and-so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such and such a college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little biography. The Buddha says, forget it. That's not true. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you are now. Well, nobody knows who that is. Because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our echoes and consulting our memories. But then there's a real you, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the real you. We shall see how they play with this exam. By the koans, to get you to come out of your shell and find out who you really are. down in the train to read your newspaper, and so on. You are not the same person who a little while ago left the platform. If you think you are linking your moments up in the train. And this is what binds you to the wheel of birth and death. But when you know that every moment in which you are is the only moment, this comes into Zen. A master will say to somebody, now get up and walk across the room. And he comes back and he says, where are your footprints? They've gone. So where are you? Who are you? When we are asked who we are, we usually give a kind of recitation of a history.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save